I guess we will call this meeting to order. Let's start off with a roll call.
Steve Ballard.
Tyler DeHolst.
Josue Rojas.
Bill Davis.
Laura DeHolst.
Samantha Shoup.
Stephanie Swigart.
Spencer Adams.
Stephanie Mathers.
Casey Carrington.
Amy Campbell.
Okay, so now we call the meeting to order after the roll call. First thing is to approve minutes from last month's board meeting on March 21st. So can I entertain a motion to approve the minutes?
I wasn't here. I'll motion to approve March's minutes.
And second motion.
Okay, we've got a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And no opposed? Okay. All right, we will move over to finance. Spencer?
Does everyone have access to the report?
I didn't bring mine.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have a couple extra?
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we are 75% of the way through the fiscal year, so that runs July through the end of June. Overall, we're doing pretty good. If you look over in the left-hand side, the budget report, mostly yellows. That means we're right on track as far as where we want to be. We're within 5% of where we should be, either direction. Local revenue, that one's a little bit misleading, just because there's probably about a month lag between when the deposits actually get recorded in here, and so we're actually doing pretty good as far as that goes, even though it says we're a little bit behind. State revenue, we're right on track. Federal, last I heard is we have a big reimbursement that's been approved. Hopefully it's on this allotment at the end of April, coming up here in a couple weeks.
Our cash days on hand went up already.
It did, yeah, it jumped up to 118 days. And so that's without the federal funds for the most part. You'll see we've just received maybe a quarter of those that we're anticipating. And so a little bit more than a quarter, I should say. But we're anticipating quite a bit more in cash coming in from those federal funds. Our expenses, we're looking pretty good overall. We're mostly in the yellow, the 700s, that's a front-loaded cost with your technology, furniture, stuff we really stock up on at the beginning of the year. I believe we did receive a bunch of reimbursement requests from mostly classroom supplies that was cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like everyone was just hurrying. And
$10,000 out the door on the day.
Yeah, and so
makes me nuts.
But the nice thing is once those are done, come the April report, we'll have a good idea of where that is, and see. I'm assuming we're going to have some savings there.
Why is the March income so much higher? I mean, I'm not mad, but
on
the bar graph.
Yeah, there's just I can't remember the exact funding line items, but there's I'm trying to remember which ones. Yeah, I'd have to look. But there was some state funds that came through that jumped that up. Enrollment, that's stayed pretty steady for most of the year. You'll notice at the beginning of the year, the October 1st count that they do, there was 1,058, but jumped up and stayed right around 1,070 for the rest of the year. So that's really going to help our WPU. EDM for next year when we get our funding estimates. And so overall, we're doing good. Our ratios are looking really healthy, and we've already started working on next year's budget. I think we've gotten pretty close to getting that all done. Still a little bit tweaking to do, but well on our way. And there's been a lot more funding that has been approved for next year, which is going to be great news for the school. Are there any questions as far as the finances go?
Yeah, on the expense pie chart, is that pretty typical for a charter school to have that kind of that ratio?
Yeah, it is. The building payment, I'd say, is a little bit lower than a lot of schools. Oh. So that's nice. But yeah, it's pretty common for majority of it going to salaries, and then your building payment. Those are typically your two largest expenses as far as the school goes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Great.
All right. Thank you, Spencer. Next on the agenda is peak alarm bid. So, Casey?
I have information.
I didn't know I was doing this.
So last year we were looking at the first of this year, putting in the mag locks that we put in the secondary last year. We put mag locks in for after the break-in for security purposes. So they're very helpful. And what we found is that in the security procedures, we locked down the back door for teachers to come into the office as they stopped locked at all times in both buildings. And that's a problem. It's a nightmare. If your hands are full and you have to get a key out to get in, it's some people just walk around, forget it, I'm not gonna manage it. So I was actually at UMA this week because I was observing Rose. And they have these finger locks actually with like fingerprints on them so that certain people can get into certain areas and all of that. And we don't even want to go that big. We just want to do a mag lock at those doors and mag locks on this building so that when a teacher's trapped outside in the back or the kitchen staff that comes in at 7 in the morning, they can just run their card. Because right now, they get out in front, they run their card, and then they get back in their car and they drive back around to get in. And some mornings, there's a car out here, they'll go, I'm not going to that front door. And they'll set the alarm off for the whole building. Because if they come in any other door, then the alarms go off. So as soon as you run that mag lock across one of those, it shuts the alarm off for the whole building. So that's another benefit. They are expensive.
So it's very expensive. It's adding one here to the outside door. We have one next door to an outside door. It's really nice. Adding one here, and then there'll be a key fob to get into the admin offices as well. So we keep those locked also.
Is it a full door replacement or just a...
No, they just add
the mag, yeah.
Little metal thing, so...
Okay.
And that's the 13...
Yeah.
Well, there's... Yes. That's for the elementary building. The other one, the 2600, that is for the card readers in the admin offices next door.
And we already have part of this system already, right? So, that, yeah.
All okay. The mag locks are all installed in the junior high. So we're going to add the admin to the junior high, and then all exterior and admin in the elementary. So that's what those are. So it's 16,000, I think, total for both.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
It'll happen this summer.
And that goes in property equipment, that goes in 700 that we're already kind of over budget on?
As soon as you do it in the summer, though, it's going to move to next year's budget.
Oh, okay.
Because you'll do it in July.
This.
Okay.
And the...
it's June 30, so a lot of...
We're also doing the parking lot.
If we do it in June
and then
or
talk about July, some roofing stuff that we've got to discuss.
So we're pretty much going to go through all of the budget next year, first of
in July. Yeah.
Boom. And Casey, it was which that cheaper one.
I would think that's pretty typical, right? You want to get your work done.
We thought about tabling because we didn't know which one it was. It was that 20,000 Seal Pro, and that's who we're going with, right? And their coming dates are?
June 17th. So the first week we're off.
Yeah. Which will close down the parking lot.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, motion to install Magnox.
I make a motion to install the Magnox to approve the budget.
Okay.
And I can second it.
You need to say a dollar.
Yes, so
for $13,431.
And the other one?
$2,675.
And I can second that motion.
Bills can second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, it has been approved. Go ahead and.
Can I just get that first amount? Was it 13,431?
14.
13,431.
I'm just going.
You got the second one as well?
Yep, I didn't bring one.
Okay. All right. Next is a closed session. So, who do we need to dismiss for closed session? Spencer, you can take off if you want.
Okay. Come on, Sam, you're real good at this.
Oh, I'm good. I can't remember the verbiage, sorry. A motion that we go into closed session to discuss the reputation, character, or mental or physical health of an individual.
I'll second that motion.
So Sam first, and then we do a roll call vote to confirm. Mm-hmm.
Steve Allard, aye.
Tyler DeHolst, aye.
Soto, aye.
Bill, aye.
Laura DeHolst, aye.
Smithershoop, aye.
Stephanie Swigert, aye.
Okay, we are in closed session. So that one's on. I'm going to turn this one off. Okay. Motion to come out of closed session.
I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
Come
out of closed session to discuss the reputation, character, or mental, or... Nope.
Nope.
You don't have to say the whole thing? No.
Okay. Just to go in, huh?
Just to go in.
Okay, cool.
I'll motion that. I'll second that.
Thanks.
Do we roll call? Yeah. And let's do a roll call vote.
Steve Allard, aye.
Tyler DeHolst, aye.
Josue Rojas.
Bill.
You have to say aye.
Say aye.
Aye. Bill Davis, aye.
Laura DeHolst, aye.
Smithershoop, aye.
Stephanie Swigert, aye.
Okay, we are out of closed session. And so now we are to vote on the principal's contract renewal. Can I get a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. So I motion that we approve the director contract as is laid out in the policy manual.
I'll second that.
Okay, and then
seconded.
Laura did.
And sorry, I guess you should motion that we renew the contract with the 1% increase. So we'll follow the board's, the school salary schedule plus the additional 1%.
I'll resecond that.
Thank you.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, it passes. All right, next board training with Steve.
All right, this is just a review. This is, as you know, we've been trying to do more of these trainings throughout the year so that we can say that we're trained. We do this.
I'll hold that over here.
Yeah, you know, this is where I want to write, like this high.
You can hold it above your head.
And he's going to be the easel.
It'll be quick. Okay, so just a good little diagram. This is a reminder of how to, of governance versus management, okay? And managing versus governing. So as you know, when we're on a board, we govern. And as a director or as an admin, you manage. And that's the difference. So sometimes people think of this relationship on a scale like this, right? So here we have our board. And the board, we decide how well, right? And as we'll just put admin, because they decide how. So those are kind of the two questions. I do not like that marker at all. Okay, so that makes sense, right? How well versus how?
Mm-hmm.
Questions, comments? Okay, now we are going to just say, you know what, that's not really where you have your lane, I have my lane, don't leave my lane, don't leave your lane, stay in your lane. We're not going to think about that. And I like to think about it more like this. And so here we have the board, and the board is deciding how well, and then we have the admin here, and they're deciding how. And those, when they're essentially two different things, and then where we're trying to get to is what we want to be is kind of where those two intersect. And if we can find that place in here with our committees, and with our meetings, and we can find that place to find in the middle, this is where we start to get things like dynamic, right? So this is dynamic, In here, this is where we have outcome based. Okay, this is unity and effective. So those are just things when we can find the right relationship, that's how we build that in the board. So over the last couple of years that we've been developing the board, I think we've been, and we really try to focus on that is how well versus how. And it really frees up a lot of time, right? Because we are not trying to focus on that. We don't have to do, the committees aren't about controlling things. The committees are about just adding that extra focus. So they're two similar purposes that intersect, but they're not duplicating. We're not trying to do the same thing. And we have to kind of, how in this way we can find a spot where we're kind of going on and off on that. So that's how I like to look at board governance versus management. So questions or comments? Okay, so how do we know if we are managing versus governing? What are the signs? So if we are guilty of managing versus governing, what would be an example?
Teachers feel comfortable coming and venting to you personally.
Okay. Teachers coming to you and asking for things like, okay, well, I'm not getting what I want through this lane, so now I'm going to go try this lane. So if then the board found themselves coming back around and trying to, effective, decisions about things. So people like to say pet programs, right? Pet programs or something that somebody brings from outside the school and they really want it. So they're pushing that agenda. Hmm. Now, does that mean that you can't act? How is that's the ineffective way. What's the reverse of that? What if you're a parent and you've got a really great program and you want to, it to be instituted through the school? What's the right way for somebody to do that? Rather than trying to get on the board so then they can tell the school what to do. That's the bad way. What's the right way? How would you effectively make change in your school?
Come and sell your goal to the principal and admin and start volunteering to make it happen.
Okay. Presentation, come to a board meeting, make a presentation, prepare some sheets, maybe kind of send an email. But it directly comes through and, get onto a board. You might be able to get onto the academic committee or something like that. There are ways to effectively influence and be involved, but yet without trying to, force the how. Any other examples of managing versus governing? Amy, do you have any?
Yeah. A lot. I think it's a hard place to be, honestly, because you are parents and you do have kids in the building or kids coming to the building soon. And I think that people will grab you in the hallway sometimes or at the grocery store and you want to because you want to feel like you're doing something. And the board is, if you're not like here and you're not like working in classrooms, then you feel like maybe you're not doing something. I think it's easy to feel that way, but that's not the position. And that's super hard, I think.
Any specifics?
Yeah, the one with the grocery store, someone comes to you at the grocery store and you promise to solve their problems, that's definitely a management experience. And it's been very helpful. We've had it happen the past years, and if you just let me know, that's so helpful. With programs, at this point, I feel like our model as a building is what's called shared governance. And if you want something or you read something and you think this would be great and you send it to me, I'm always going to put it before my admin team. And then I'm going to go out to the teachers and have them, I'm going to survey them in some way to get data from them to see where they are. Because if they don't accept it and aren't willing to do it, it will never fly, no matter how great it is. So it has to go through that system. And that's definitely, if you give it to us to then run through that system, that is absolutely governance. And you overseeing and bringing problems. I don't want you to feel like you can't bring problems to me. If people approach you and give you problems, yeah, but bring them to me. Don't try to solve them.
Yeah.
Because I can't read your mind and I can't read theirs if they don't tell me. Plus, it doesn't give them any responsibility.
So if you find yourself working with a teacher or somebody else in the building,
and you're kind of guiding and directing maybe some of those things, you know, that could start to blur that line a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, through the committee that's been established and voted on and known by the board, and we have it, that's a lot better committee.
And sometimes people come to you and tell you a problem, and you'll be scared to tell me because you're afraid it's going to hurt my feelings. I've had that happen. And that's, I can't solve a problem I don't know about. So you have to let us know.
Yeah.
I tell that to kids all the time.
Okay, so what's a good example of governance? We talked about, well, that's an example of managing. Any good examples of governance that anybody can think of? How do you know when you're governing versus managing?
Financial oversight.
I think you know when you're governing when you're setting the goal, not the, you know, when
how-to.
Yeah, not the how-to. So you're setting all of those metrics on your math and reading stuff and your financial goals, but you're not saying how to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you find harmony and you find unity. And that is really hard to find, you know, especially with school boards are notoriously confrontational and conflict based, and you know, it's kind of like city council meetings. You know, they naturally, a lot of that forum can be really, and it's great to have different ideas. We don't, you know, we don't ever want to try to just be a yes board. You know, it's just yes, approve everything. We got to have discussion. We got to have go through some of these things. But if everybody is doing it their way, we find ways to govern. I think we can come there. So once we find a level of unity, and we find we're still dynamic, we're still growing. If we are a better school tomorrow than we were today, and every year we can find some increase, whether it's a financial increase, whether it's an academic increase, whether it's a making it through a hard contracts, make it through big changes, losing people, and then finding new people to fill in, all those challenges we go through, if we're getting through those and we're moving it, then I think that's when you can know that we have a good balance of that. But it can go the other way, right? You know, if we're not doing anything, then it varies evident as well. When there's not any board oversight, there's not any board involvement, then the school is weaker and more susceptible to those problems that bring schools down. So anyways, that was on our list of annually training. So we will bring it up again next year.
Okay.
All righty.
Thanks, Steve. Amy, report.
Is it cold? Oh, it's from last year. Yeah. I opened the principal's report to fill it in, and I added the last page. So, because it's last year's April, see where I am. Just change the date and add new things. So that last page.
So the second page is just a reminder of what happened.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Apparently. 2 years. Hey, Casey did the investigative work while sitting here, and he's like, "That's 2 years ago."
Everybody's excused. I'm sorry.
Yes. Hustle up. Don't drive fast.
No.
Yeah. Our testing begins on the RISE test. Now, I'd love to talk to you about this in a positive light for a minute. the RISE test is having issues. So we got an email on Monday that said the sixth grade test has a bug in it, and you have to start the test and finish the test in the same setting. And if you don't, then it will lose all of your data. So then there was a follow-up to that essentially said the same thing. Questar has identified the problem, and you do have to take it in one sitting.
And that could be difficult for some children, like one of mine.
Right. So in the past, if you didn't know, you could leave that test and come back to it the next day. So time was not an issue, and it gave you some time to like think about it and work through and process. So that's gone for the sixth grade test currently. Our window does not open until the 29th, but we got an email today that said the Granite District, which is about 115 schools, that's a lot of students, has lost all their rosters in RISE. They are gone. They can't find them. So there are some bugs with the RISE test. The benchmark tests were not released until the end of February, beginning of March. So our teachers did not use them. Some did, but we relied mainly on Dibbles and the iReady software, which I'm so glad we purchased, or we would have had no feedback. But things like science, I'm super worried because we have no predictive data in science because the benchmarks, yeah. So they've done the best they can with common assessments and some work like that, but we'll see. And I honestly, like, if the whole thing blows up, the state is going to have to take a look at it and do something about it. They cannot use it to grade schools by when it has, it's completely flawed. So, there you go. The EOY and iReady, the end of year, I had promised you that I was going to give it to you, and I took it to the teachers, and I launched it, and they kind of went bonsai because they feel like it will just increase the fatigue among their kids before they do take the RISE test. So I gave them the option because I said, but we're not getting out of iReady because you cannot evaluate the tool or if the interventions were any good unless you do a full year of data collection on it so we can evaluate it. So they're going to give, the K2 is going to give it after Dibbles, which Dibbles, the window opened this week. And 3 through 9, they're going to give it after they finish RISE. And some of them have already given it because it automatically uploads the diagnostic based on where their kids are. So some of them have already given it and got some data, but not the majority. So we'll look at those. We aren't meeting in May, correct? Mm-hmm. So we'll look at those in June. And I'm sorry about that. I told them I'd go to back because they were not happy campers. There was a lot of conversation. The financial audits. The trust land audit was yesterday. So the state came. We have a new finance authority at the state. Her name's Natalie, but it's not Grange, it's Gordon.
Yeah!
No, I thought it was her, and I was like, who are you? I was really classy. Anyway, so she was great, though, and they were great. But they did recommend in the audit that all of our problems would be solved if the Trust Lands Committee goes back to the board. Because Robert's Rules of Order and note-taking that is consistent and then posted is not happening in the OPPO. And honestly, I could go at them and I could make them do all those things, but then it's just another committee to run. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, they are doing such great things that I am not planning any activities. I get to show up and enjoy the kids at the activities. And I don't want that to go away by me forcing them into this structure that's mm-hmm. It's just not in their wheelhouse. So I'm going to ask you guys to do the trust lands next year. And it's easy. We're building a web page right now that just puts, you are the new trust land people, and you'll be managing that money. Here's how it was spent last year. Here's how we hope to spend it next year. And then in October, you'll be recognized as the Trust Lands Council, is what it's called, if the board is doing it.
It's actually kind of fun spending that money, too.
That's seeing right, right?
Because everybody's...
You're on a committee at New Ames,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's $126,000 next year, and it is all going to math. But as Carol Rupp, who's been the director of Trust Lands since the beginning of time... Do you guys get Trust Land money? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So they... She's been there since, she said something yesterday, like 25, 30 years or something, trust lands. She said every year the legislature goes after it and tries to take it away from this program, so we have to be in compliance. So I was like, I agree, and I'm so glad because that relieves so much stress because truly I bring it to OPPO, we talk about it once a quarter, I do a slide presentation, the one I gave to you last month, and they don't know. They look at me because they aren't in all the inner workings like you are. So
what does the money go towards?
We're doing it changes every year. So there are three people, salaried positions, mm-hmm. a math coach, a library coach, and another math TA, paraprofessional. And then we didn't do all the Wonders curriculum, but we did a big hunk of the Wonders curriculum from Trust Lands. This year we're gonna do the math coach again and two math TAs. We're doing some robotics sets for the library's gonna purchase robotics and do after school robotics and engineering. They're gonna do math club, which they started this year, but they're hoping to grow it next year. We're doing graphing calculators and training for teachers in the 7 through 9, so every classroom will get a graphing set. And then we bought these swivel observation tools. Have you ever seen those? It's like an iPad with a camera, and they have these markers that you put in the room that record sounds. And they're going to build, we're doing a math curriculum camp in the summer, and a representative from each team, or CTT, is going to be there to write full unit. And then the unit's going to go back to, that's all based on the pattern that we're going to pick for our math implementation next year. Mm-hmm. That's going to go back to the CTT, the PLCs, and they're going to implement, but one of them's going to teach it with a swivel device in the room. Mm-hmm. And then they'll all sit down together in the CTT and probably one of us and watch it and then break down like what went well, what do we need to look at, how can we tweak it. So we're going to build our instruction at the same time that we're building our math curriculum. That's all. We're doing a coaching training this summer as well so that they can be part of that conversation in the swivel observations to build instruction. So it's a big task. It's going to be, we're trying to do everything with, yeah, at one time. So we'll see. How we do. Facility and security. So that's trust lines. If you have any questions, let me know. We did great. They were very nice. The money and stuff were great financially. All of our financial stuff checked out. It's just they worry about the note taking and the monitoring that's happening with the OPPO board. So, or the community council. Facility and security. Still looking for an offsite evacuation location. We're now in contact with the movie theater. We've been trying to get into the church for a year and we can't get over there anymore because that building is now closed and they're worried about, they aren't insuring it, so they're worried about safety. The parking lot is getting redone this summer and there are holes in the roof. So,
my house too.
This week, with all of the rain, we started, well, it started back in...
You mentioned it a while ago.
Yeah.
You mentioned that there was something you were trying to figure out.
It's been an ongoing problem, but this spring is really...
It's been a nightmare. So, the roofing company that originally put the roof in, we got them out, and he got up on the roof, and he was with Andrew and saying, there's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole.
Whatever the Spanish word for hole is, he's like, there.
What is it? Anyway, so he had membrane. He also pointed out that the membrane that rolls towards the drain is supposed to be placed like this, like overlapping from the top one leading to the bottom one, and they're overlapped like this.
Nicely done.
And then they're taped, but the hole, there's holes in the tape. So water has been running in the building. My personal this week is that there's a vent above my office that's an intake for the heating and cooling, and I'm sitting at my desk two days ago, and water is dripping, and I can hear it, and I'm like, oh, this is not good. So I'm like, yeah, Drew. And I put a garbage can there just in case, right? Because we had a couple upstairs that caved in. Like, they came in and there was just water and tiles and everything everywhere. So he got up in there and he's like, oh my gosh, I can see light. So the vent hadn't been sealed or flashed correctly.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just riding that heating vent into the building, dropping into the wall, and then dropping onto my tile.
Who did the original roof?
So the roofing company is going to come and fix
this.
Are
all like, so Andrew puts his hands up on the wall, and the whole inside of the wall is sopping wet.
Who did we approve?
So they came yesterday and did a
One
IR.
West, the company.
That's who did it. Who built the building?
The roofing company that One West.
Yeah, they're contracted. Called Red Roof.
Red Roofing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what the name is. Casey just told us downstairs that they've got a bid, and Orlando's coming back tomorrow to give a complete bid on what it would cost us. We're not going to be able to do it this year. And he said he can get us through until next year, but then we're going to look at it. But anyway, the wall is full of water in mine, and we've got water seeping downstairs. So, yeah. So we're going to have to take a look at all of that.
Does any phone calls for...
No, we called Jim, and Jim was not nice to Andrew. That's why I had Andrew call him, because I knew he wouldn't answer my call. So Andrew got him on the phone, and he talked to him for a bit and told him who it was. And then they called the company, and they sent out a guy, and the guy was like, this is crazy. This should have never passed
inspection.
So that's the question is there any kind of guarantee on the work? Why would
6 years out. I don't know.
Yeah, but if it was done incorrectly, I feel like we can go back and say this is proved that you did this incorrectly. It needs to be fixed.
Are you ready to get back into
the lawsuit?
So legal
might be worth it.
Let me get a complete bid.
Well, depending on how much that bid is, I mean, because we can't go through another season with
it was pretty. It's been
you having
crazy.
A waterfall in
this building has like water coming through tiles. It's like it'll hit an I-beam and ride the I-beam in, and then at the lowest point, just fill the tile with water.
Well, then you end up with other issues related to moisture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mold is what I'm super worried about.
You've got kids in buildings with allergies and sensitivities. You can't have mold in your building.
So, holes in the roof. There you go. So once I get a complete bid, I think, I really do think that it needs to at least be A, brought to their attention, and then yes. B. But I, my question to you is, would you like me to make contact with the legal experience first? And if so, does anybody know someone? Because I don't think this is in the wheelhouse of Lair.
Aaron, you don't think it is?
What about Heidi? If it was with Heidi.
Is Heidi still around practicing? Let's. Yeah. Why don't we make a call out to Heidi and then
spend a couple hours on it at least?
We don't lose anything, and depending on what the bid's going to be, especially if it was done wrong in the first
initial
place.
And we need to look at that termination piece, because there may be some clause in there that.
Hopefully that's only termination of management, though, and not termination of facility, you know? Although we did lose a facilities manager, and so the claim could then be, they can't prove that they've had regular maintenance. But if you can prove that it was laid incorrectly.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's irregular.
Is there one agreement to that? Is reach out to our board attorney?
Legal team.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I would say before you push.
Get a bid. Obviously the first step is get a bid. Yeah.
Get a bid. And I'm going to get up on the roof with our
If we fix it ourselves, even if we pay for that, that doesn't stop us from still pursuing legal to get that paid back to us. So we can do both.
I've stopped $78,000 right now.
Well, I know, but I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. Okay. It even would pay for the repairs to hold on until you redid the whole thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yep.
Tile replacement, floor replacement, mm-hmm. wall replacement.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll move forward.
And they don't like legal battles just as much as we don't.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, and I don't know how many buildings were built in that year. Do you have any idea? All over.
We can go back.
And they're still going strong.
It's not on the agenda.
Right.
Okay.
Events, did you want to go see anything on there?
Yeah, no, there they are. The art show is a huge one, that's why I bolded it. It's this week, and it's Thursday, actually, a week from today, and it's both gyms. We were supposed to be at the Monarch, that new building downtown, and then they called and had to cancel because they didn't have enough wall space finished. So,
I think they're scrambling.
Yeah, they are.
Well, and then they're doing Spree next Saturday, so they're probably scrambling to get that.
And so. I think we have a good relationship with them now. I think Annie's done a really good job that we'll get to go there next year. So I'm excited about the art show because it's going to be in both gyms this year. And Zach Ordonez, who's in the other building, is the new photography teacher. His work is all over the halls over there. I don't know if you've seen it. The student work is amazing. So I'm very excited. You and I. I can't make it.
Sorry.
Really?
I know.
Right? Anyway, if you don't know, I did outbid Willie last year.
Got him.
Oh,
well, yeah. She kept trying to sucker me into
taunting.
Bidding more.
There was
yeah.
real taunting.
Taunting.
And I won. Okay, so that is Thursday.
Did you really win?
Yeah, I know. That's exactly
what
happened.
Did he just get you to go higher?
I think I won.
Who goaded who?
I still have the picture. It's in my house. I actually like it. So.
I actually like it.
I do. I think it's great. My husband was very happy with it. Okay.
Okay. Moving on. Safe school policy. Amy?
I can talk this if you'd like. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to open the document, it is quite lengthy, but I'll just kind of do a couple highlights. This is just updates to our safe school policy. It has been approved by the admin team. You'll see a variety of different colors that will show you edits, and they're different colors just to represent different administrators who have gone through.
Like,
it is about 25 pages. So on page...
9.
Computer. Page 6, there were some changes to the gang prevention information just based on what we're doing, which we have kind of amped up. Both Casey and I attended the Northern Utah Gang Conference, and then we trained all of our teachers on some of the information from that. And it's not just gang things, it's, you know, vaping and drugs and all sorts of things that unfortunately are relevant at a junior high, but it's important for our teachers to know about. Then there were some changes in terms of, Amy was talking about earlier, how there's kind of like a shared governance. So a lot of the procedures, it was just the principal will search a student, the principal will conduct an investigation, and we have multiple people who could be doing that at one time, so we changed all of that terminology to a school administrator, just because we have multiple buildings and one person can't possibly do all of that. There were some pretty significant changes to the special ed section because we now have a special education policy and procedure manual. So we've simply referenced that manual, which is why you see just massive deletions around pages 11, 12, 13. And that the manual is quite lengthy. We had a chance to look at that at an admin meeting. So all of this and more is now in that document. I'm trying to think if there were any other significant things. Oh, there's a little bit about holds and restraints. Terrell Young, the dean over here at the elementary, has been trained in something called safety care, which is just a way to legally restrain and move children if needed. And then many of us have been trained, TAs, teachers, and admin, and she does tune-ups and things like that. So she had wrote in, I think her color is pink, some information about restraints and things like that.
A full Nelson versus a half.
No, we were highly encouraged not. It's pretty fun though, I'll say.
Are there any questions about anything in this policy?
Yeah, she also did timeout and seclusion.
Seclusion, yeah.
Talking about the responsibility room and that.
Correct.
Situation.
No questions, okay.
So this will get it down to like a good 24 pages.
I think it may have gotten under 20, but I'm not, I don't know.
It'll just be more accurate, which is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No other questions?
And this will be printed out and allowed to go into our binder for next time. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Calendars. It'll also be electronically posted on the website.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. That's where it should be. Take a motion to vote on the changes to the safe school policy.
Oh. I have a question about this, though. So when we re-register for next year, we agreed to follow, like as a parent, they agreed to follow that. So is this going to have to be re-sent out to parents? Or?
It'll be put in the handbook for that building.
The handbook for
and then this building, they have like a mini one, and then there's just a sheet
that they both
fill out. And then when they're online doing some of that registration, they'll have access to it.
But where they've already approved,
they've already registered.
That's what I'm saying now.
No, it's just in process. So yeah. Kids will all see it. They'll all be trained at the beginning of the year and then.
Okay. Sounds good.
Any more questions? Okay. Now we'll take a motion to vote on the changes.
A motion that we approve the safe school policy.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, approved. Do we have any other business? Anything else?
Nothing else on the agenda.
Then we will close and adjourn the meeting. Meeting is adjourned.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Good girl.
The closing, not a closing.
We argue, we debate this every time.
You don't need to do it on a closing. Not in Robert's rules. Really?
You can put me down if you want.
Meeting adjourned.